இருக்கிறார்கள்.
குமாரவர்மா, காலம் ஒவ்வொரு கோழைக்கும் வீரனாக ஒரு கணம் கொடுக்கும். அந்த கணம் இது. மூச்சை படைப்பவன் தேவன், மூச்சை நீட்டிப்பவன் வைத்தியன், மூச்சை காப்பவனே சத்திரியன்.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Retro Movie Podcast, a podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to sneak up on a lady just to draw a little flower on her hand, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. it was a little weird, but
Young Buckwell is a fucking, he's a goober, man.
He's a horn dog.
But hey, that's just, it's in the blood, you know, in the blood.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every week Perk and I review a movie that is connected to the last one we watched. I feel like our show, we post pretty much every Friday. We skipped last week, but there's a good reason, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, we post on podcast services. We also post on YouTube. If you like our show, tell your friends about it and come watch some movies with us. All right, here's what happened. Okay. Last week, we watched The Sky is Pink. Great movie, very sad. And we're like, we need to mix it up. We need to get in the these insane action movies. What would you call this genre, Perk? Is there like a
There is one. It's
like these epics.
These movies in RRR are in a league of their own.
They're in a league of their own.
No comparison.
I was gonna say Bollywood, but it's not Bollywood. But it's just like these bombastic films. And we're like, okay, we loved RRR. We didn't watch it on the podcast. We both watched and talked about it in our bonus reviews. So we're like, let's hit up our boy S.S. Rajamouli for my understanding is the biggest film franchise in Indian history, which is Bahubali, right? As far as income and box office sales. However, before we move on to that, we did find a connection between The Sky is Pink and Bahubali, which is Sarath Mohan, who worked on the sound department for both, which is a nice little, I think it's interesting that there's a single person that worked on both The Sky is Pink and the first Bahubali. So that was cool to see. But here's what happened. Going into watching Bahubali, I knew there was a sequel, but I thought it was like, I don't know, the first one, then a few years to make a second one for money.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
It was successful, so they made another.
Right. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch that off the pod, or, you know, but we'll just talk about the first movie. Burke and I finished watching the first Bahubali, and this movie ends on such a massive cliffhanger, and we're not even close to resolving the story.
No, like, nowhere near.
Not even close. And then it's like, oh, wait. This is not Bahubali 1 and Bahubali 2. This is Infinity War Endgame. A massive story. So we're like, okay, well, we got to skip a week and watch Bahubali 2, the conclusion, because we couldn't talk about the first one without seeing how the story ends, right?
Right, yes.
So we had to skip a week, and now we will be talking about Bahubali 1, the beginning, and Bahubali 2, the conclusion, and just the large, massive story that is Bahubali. And I can't wait. Perk, why don't you introduce these movies for us?
Yeah, all right. So Bahubali is a two-part movie, a S.S. Rajamouli joint from 2015 and 2017. I don't really think it should be called two movies because it's one movie.
It is, but it's also two in a different way.
Yeah, the stars of this movie are Prabhas. I'm going to apologize in advance once again for my pronunciations. Rana Dagabati, Anushka Shetty, and Ramya Krishnan. And the plot of the movie is something else. Basically, what S.S. Rajamouli has done here is he made two movies, and not in the way that logic would state. Basically, the first movie, there's 2 hours of a movie, and then there's
a standard movie.
Yeah, and then there's an hour of a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh wow, that what happened? We went to a flashback for an hour. The second movie starts off with 2 hours of flashback.
We're still in the flashback.
Still in the flashback. And then the last like 45 minutes of the movie are
finish the original.
Back to finish the original. So basically, it's a 2.5 hour movie with a 3 hour movie in between.
Yeah, which is the best way of putting it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, this dude shoved a 3 hour flashback in the middle of a standard movie, which is incredible.
And it's kind of explanatory when you look at it in comparison with RRR. Because mm-hmm. Something similar happens. There's like an hour long flashback in that movie. Yeah. So the story follows. I'm gonna pretend like I can sum it up here in like 15 seconds.
Maybe just talk about the modern day story.
Yeah. Okay. So simple. Basically, it follows Sivu, our main character, who through suspicious means has gone over a waterfall in the arms of his grandmother and survived at the bottom of this waterfall in a village. His like drive has always been to climb this giant, like, fantastical waterfall, which looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And so, like, every day of his life, he tries to climb the waterfall. Eventually, he does. He comes upon some warring parties. It is uncovered that he is the rightful heir to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And antics ensue. Yeah, and yeah, there's a flashback to his father, and his father's brother, who is the king in the present day. Mm-hmm. And I actually was really confused. maybe I missed the line of dialogue where it was established that this is a story about your father, but the father and son are played by the same actor.
Yes, and there's very. I will say when we first went to the flashback, I'm like, there. It seems like he's acting like the same person, but. At the end, we went from the father back to the son. The son definitely feels like younger and more goofier.
Yeah.
Even though it is the same actor.
Right. And yeah, do you mind if I toss in my opinion here?
Go for it. What'd you think of Bahubali, the epic?
Yeah, so I quite like the bookend movie. And I absolutely love the interstitial 3 hour epic tale.
I was like, is he about to hit the flashback? I'm like, yeah, I think the flashback's the best part. So, the flashback movie is incredible.
So yeah, because in the first movie, when we end the movie with an hour long flashback, I'm like, what the heck, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then the second movie, when we start with 2 hours of flashback, I'm like, oh yeah, more of that. Give me the goods. This is what I'm looking for. There's stuff to pick at. It's not a perfect movie, but it's freaking awesome. Like,
oh yeah,
it's so much fun start to finish.
Dude, I don't. S.S. Rajmouli is a madman. Like this dude, yeah. I don't understand how his brain works. How the hell did this? Let's see, will come out 2 years after the first one. That's crazy to me. They must have filmed it.
They must have filmed simultaneously or something.
But even just to plan these movies, like this is probably the most impressive. Just from a production standpoint, this is one of the most impressive stories I've ever seen brought to film.
Yeah.
Because the set pieces, the dances, the music, the amount of extras, like just everything that had to be done to make this story exist is insane. Like, I at the end of the day, I think RRR is better because it's tighter and I think it's a better story.
It's an improvement in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is just like... I am in awe of Rajmouli, and I'll watch the rest of his movies until the day I die.
Yeah, absolutely. I missed out on our fun facts, but a couple of them here. The waterfall took 2 years to create visually. They filmed it at a real waterfall, but then obviously spruced it up in visual effects, which some of the visual effects in this movie are a little ropey, specifically with some of the animals. By the way, did you see the watermark?
Yes,
in the corner.
I want to take a second to talk about the effects as a whole, but
But yeah. So the waterfall was it took 2 full years to make, which is good lord, that's quite the undergoing. And then just the other fun fact I found was that they made $200,000 in U.S. dollars in pre-orders for tickets to see this at one theater.
Wow. Wow, that's for the first movie or the second movie?
The first one.
That's incredible, man. That's actually incredible. Like, the second one I could totally get because it's like the hype would be... I can't imagine the hype in India before the second one drops. Like, it had to be insane.
Gotta be.
Because the cliffhanger was absolutely... I don't know how, if it got you as much as it got me, but I was like, you're joking. You're telling me that my man Katappa was the one who killed Bahubali? Come on, man. It's
Yeah, I... I didn't really see that one coming. It was a nice twist.
Yeah, and I'm it all makes sense when you find it out.
Because I would have not been able to live.
So, yeah, let's talk about the effects for a moment. Because they are fascinating to me. You mentioned the watermark thing. So, yeah, so these movies very, very, very much want you to know there are no
real animals. We didn't hurt
any
animals.
They did not hurt any animals. Because animals are getting fucked up. But they're clearly CG. And like you said, in the first movie, every time there's an animal on screen that's like getting a hurt, there's a watermark at the bottom of the screen that says CGI. Which I think is just like, it took me out of it a little bit, but I also kind of appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's like, it's kind of sad to see like these animals get hurt.
At first I thought it was weird. And then I was like, no, that's kind of sweet. Like,
yeah, which they didn't have in the sequel. That. But yeah, it was a very interesting choice. But I understand, you know, why they did it. But yeah, the effects for me are so interesting because they're not good, but they're also not bad. They're like just good enough where like you know they're not real, but you don't care because you're having so much fun.
Yeah, I think it almost perfectly matches and like adds to the camp value.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly.
I don't want this to be an extremely polished movie. I think it just kind of adds to the fun factor when a JPEG of a golden crown is falling down a waterfall.
And like I won't even call it like it's so bad it's good territory, because like I think they're aware. Like it's just a budget. Like they perfectly match their budget, and like we know exactly what we need to get the effect we want, and they hit that. It's not like a Thanksgiving where you're like, this is just a terrible movie and we're laughing at it. Like,
no,
this is straight up like, no, this was like an intentional choice, and they had the perfect amount of production for like all these effects.
Yeah, and camp is the wrong word, because camp is like so bad it's good. There's not really a good word for it, but it's just like it has a goofy feel to it while just being epic and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, it's just fun. And like I talked about this when we talked about RR, but like this even more than RR, this is the most anime movie I've ever seen. And that's and it's like I'm like not even joking, like all of the bad live action anime adaptations need to watch this movie, because this movie does like anime action like good. Like the final fight between Bahubali and Baladeva, when he's got the fucking chains around his hands and just beating the shit out of him, and we get in like the impacts and stuff and like the cracks in the ground, it didn't feel like it felt in the world still.
Yeah, it doesn't feel out of place. No.
Yeah, where like it feels like in every fucking live action anime adaptation, everything feels just so out of place and just weird. But whatever, in this movie, like it all just works. And
it's
I don't necessarily know why, but it's incredible.
Part of that too is probably because they always cast white people.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, like I absolutely love that final fight with him with his mace on a chain hammer thing, and he's like slamming him down. And yeah, when he was beating his ass with the chain hands, that was one of the most satisfying things I've ever seen in my entire life. It was awesome.
we can, why don't we pivot from effects into what I think is by far, I don't know by far, but in my opinion, the best part of this movie, the action.
Oh my God.
It's just so awesome. All of the fight scenes are so cool, dude.
I have to ask you, Perk, because so I watched the first one and I was like, I'm online. I've seen before, because I was like, I followed like a subreddit for a while. It was like Bollywood realism that would just show these like insane Bollywood clips. And I saw the what I call the Fanlax cannonball, right? Which is when in Bollywood 2, when they get guys with shields in a ball and they launch themselves with the palm trees, right? So I thought that was in Bahubali and it didn't happen. I was like, oh man, I really wanted to see that. And then in Bahubali 2, he looks up at the palm trees. I'm like, let's fucking go. We're about to get it. So how did you react to the Fanlax cannonballs? Because I was dying, dude.
Oh,
I absolutely dying.
I'm in 100%. I thought I was like cheesing. I was just,
it kept going, dude. It kept like he got over and then they just kept flying in and I was just losing my shit, man.
Did you notice there was one that just like bounced off the wall?
Yeah, that one missed and just like they just ate it, dude.
I would say rest in peace to those guys, but these dudes are getting flung thousands of feet in the air and are just like landing in a fight pose like a superhero.
Their knees totally fine. No worries. But like, honestly, the one that missed like added to the realism. Like that was actually super important to be there, but it was so freaking funny. It was like one of the first ones just hits the wall and falls down. But yeah, there's that. There's like the, in the first one, there's like the, I don't know what you call it, like the blanket that he like throws on
the
army.
The,
which like
fire.
The fire blankets.
Yeah.
Badass. I'm like, very it was cool enough without the fire. I'm like, oh, you just land on them, they're going to be like struggling. And then he sets it on fire. I'm like, that works. That's freaking great. You know?
Yeah, I think one thing that this movie has that RRR doesn't is like the scale of army warfare, like ancient army warfare. I think that's that aspect is really cool. And all of the scenes where they're leading legions into battle are just so freaking awesome. It's tough to not just gush and to be objective, but yeah, like the strategy in it, the tactics,
the Trident strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that they, the way that they paint the differences between the two brothers, in their styles and in, in their strategies. It's so cool. It's fun.
Yeah. Baladeva with like the blade chariot.
Yeah.
Just mowing down his own people.
Just tanks through civilians. Yep.
I'm probably going to talk more about the second one because it's more fresh in my mind, but like early in Battle Volley 2, the fucking scene where him and Katapa are just fighting those bandits and they're throwing the axe back and forth.
Yeah.
I was losing my shit. That was so freaking awesome. He throws it.
So cool.
And then Katapa sticks it in a dude and throws the dude over. Like, oh my God. Incredible. And then we get the callback right before Katapa kills him where he throws it to him and then, you know, he uses it to stab him. I was like, oh my God. This movie's, it's so fucking good. It is so good.
it is. I think, well, just continuing on this role. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just hosting this one, I guess.
Yeah, I'm taking a backseat.
No, I think that the story is amazing. And it's what, for me, it rivals the action as the best part of the movie. Because when you have 5.5 hours, you can tell a really detailed story with really detailed characters. And I think the whole, like, prodigal son and the kingdom and the ancient empire interactions and all that is awesome.
And the villain was genuinely smart. Like, his strats in the second one were, like, super, super smart, and they totally worked. I'm like, yeah, I buy that. That was awesome.
No, and I could go through a list and, like, tell you all the characters, like, Baladeva is great as a villain. His dad, great as a villain. He's great.
Yeah. I love how he has this complex about his disability. And it's like, no, it's because you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
Like, we don't hate you because of your disability. It's because you just suck.
The OG Bahubali is an awesome character, even if he's so a bit of a whore.
Awesome.
the younger Bahubali is a pretty good character, even if almost all of his characterization is done via his father in a 3-hour flashback.
So that's, if I can stop it for just a second, that's one thing I feel like didn't quite work for me, is like, the flashback was so good, and I love the original Bahubali so much. Then we go back to his son, I'm like, I don't care about him as much.
No, like, definitely not as much, but it's also been over 3 hours since we dealt with his story.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think, is it Davasena?
Mm-hmm. Davasena, yeah.
Davasena, yeah. She's awesome in both. She's awesome. In both stories. Very cool. Sivagami is such a great character for so many different reasons as the queen mother who's torn.
Dude, like, how, like, when the second movie starts, when she starts with doing like the fire walk where she has to walk with the coals in her hair for like 60 miles or something, I'm like, queen mother is a queen, like, badass. Like, the whole first movie, she's badass. But then she, like, just loses the plot and goes, like, crazy. And it's, but you buy it, like, and it's just sad that she's being manipulated.
It's shown because she's torn within herself, you know, between her own flesh and blood son and who she in her true heart knows is the rightful king. And it brings her to a break, pretty much.
And I think it's also the guilt of having to choose one of her sons that she wants to make it up to the evil son, and he plays her. He's like, I don't want these gifts. Like, you're just pitying me. And then that really eats at her, and then it leads to everything else that happens. She was awesome.
Yeah, with all the character interactions and, like, the espionage and strategy and tactics, I think a good comparison, even though there isn't one, is this kind of feels like Game of Thrones in India.
Yeah,
if it's a little dumbed down, and I mean that in a good way, because Game of Thrones is convoluted.
Yeah, no, I think you get, like, such satisfying politics here.
Yeah,
combined with just amazing action and music and everything else, right? But, and I think the character of Katapa is also just incredible to watch.
Forgot to, like, mention Katapa. Yeah,
he's the goat. Like, I absolutely loved him, and, like, so yeah, this is the other thing too. It's like, I watching Bahubali at the beginning, like, I was in, on like the modern day story before we get to the flashback, but I feel like I would have been even more in if we had seen it after the flashback. Like, I almost wish the first movie was the flashback and the second movie was only the modern day, because like after we got back, I'm like, I care about all these characters way more. Like David Sena, they're like, we gotta rescue David Sena. I'm like, okay, I've never seen her before. Like, why should I care? Like, you're telling me to care because you all revere her, but I don't really know why. And then I see the flashback. Oh, so like she's the best. But like, I would have cared even more if we'd seen the flashback before everything else. But I don't know if that, I don't know if it would have worked.
Yeah, I don't think it works in chronological order. I don't know that it works perfectly the way it is either. Also, yeah I agree with you. I think that the plot line of the first like 2 hours of this epic does it does kind of fade away, and it's for a movie that's 5.5 hours long, the main like A plot is not given enough time.
I know, which is insane.
It's like maybe if this movie were 6.5 hours long, you know, and then we could get back with our main characters and stew for a little longer. It's really only like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy how little time,
including denouement.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. We kind of lose it, and yeah, I would think, in my opinion, like the only real weak character in the movie is Avantika. She's only a weak character because all of her character development happens in the first section of the movie,
and all of it happens in one dance/sex scene.
And she just you know falls in love with him by being like all like kidnapped by dance. I don't really know.
I don't really understand how that, like, can we talk about that scene? Because that scene was wild.
it was cool, it was a little out there,
but it's like I also felt I didn't love the theme of like her true self as like this very feminine person, because like, she is a badass and she's like a warrior and she does like get
she does go back at, yeah,
but it was like all along I actually was this like girly girl, and it's like, okay, I think it just felt a little bit misogynistic.
First of all,
not too bad, but
she was gorgeous even in like, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Attire, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But it just, I don't know. It just felt like, oh, like this is how women should actually be. It was kind of like the implication I got. But which,
and
I don't know if that's actually what they're going for, because then like David Sena in the second movie is like the most badass character of all time.
Yeah, so I think I would be more put off by it if there weren't such incredibly strong female characters in this movie in Deva Sena and Sivagami.
It just sucks that
it was a little weird. And at that time, you know, that tone hadn't really been set. We didn't have all the context of these elite like battle queens.
Right. Yeah. And like you say, it just sucks that she gets like kind of sidelined for, because like even after they like hook up, he's like, I'm gonna take your burden for you, and he just does hurt what she was gonna do for her, and it's like, you do it together, you know. Because like, yeah, that would have been awesome, because now knowing the whole story, like one of my favorite scenes is when Bahubali and David Sena finally team up and have the arrow fight scene.
Yes.
In the hallway. So good. Like, come on, man. That scene is fucking awesome. They're just both chucking 4 arrows at a time. Like, it's badass.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the music?
Yeah, you start.
Here, but I'll say the negative before I say the positive.
All right.
We did. I don't think we needed the Thieves' Den dance scene in the first
movie. No, I think it was gratuitous.
That was a bit gratuitous.
But besides that,
and not even just the dance scenes, like the music overall in these movies is incredible, man. Like, it just hits. It's so epic and just like beautiful.
So
like, oh
it
my God, I love it.
Fits the tone perfectly. It blends so well with the, you know, big, I don't know, a timpani type drums, just like gong type drums, just through a backbeat, like really emphasizing the ancient India involved in the film, you know.
Yeah, and I also love how a lot of the songs have lyrics that like are talking about what's happening in the plot, you know, which is always fun. And
I'm sure like I remember this from RRR as well, but I'm sure that the lyrics flow a lot better in the native tongue. It's always just so funny watching the subtitles just like spell out very flat. Like he is feeling conflicted. He is off to save his mother. Like,
oh, also we should have mentioned at the top that we watched the Tamil version.
Yes.
Because the original is not available. Is it?
Tegu? No, so this Tegu? One is... So RRR is originally filmed in Telugu,
mm-hmm.
And then dubbed into Hindi, and the Hindi version's on Netflix.
Correct.
Bahubali was simultaneously shot in both Tamil and Telugu. Mm-hmm. So neither of those versions are dubbed. They're just the actual, that's how it was shot.
But which, I think some of them
had to have added a lot of time to the production. Oh, I'm sure.
But I don't think every single scene was also shot in Tamil, because there were definitely times when like the mouth and the audio was not matching up.
Yeah, I think part of that might have just been poor ADR as well.
Maybe, yeah.
But the production was, they were going to produce two movies,
yeah.
One in each language. And the Tamil version is available on Netflix, which is cool.
There's a lot of versions available on Netflix.
Yes. It's hard to find. I wish Netflix would have a better system, but
yeah.
You got to dig around until you find the Tamil version.
Normally, it's pretty good where you can just swap out the audio like within the same like product, but maybe because they like how they produced it, they had to do kind of separate releases. But these movies are just incredible. I'll look at my notes to see what else I wrote down.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk, I do have a couple gripes.
Oh, go for it. Go for your gripes.
Not big, but I had mentioned that I think that the there were a couple dance scenes that were pretty gratuitous.
Yeah.
And a little exploitative. And
the Thieves Dead one in particular is that's the only reason it's there.
It was short enough that,
it was still too long, though.
It was definitely too long. Like, grand scheme, it was pretty small, but it definitely lingered. Yeah, and then I think that pacing is not Rajamouli's strong suit.
What are you talking about in a 5.5-hour story?
I know, but it feels like some things are so incredibly rushed and some things are just so long.
Yeah,
I agree. The courtship of Devasena in her village, I feel like that takes a long time.
Also, like, what a weird... That whole thing was weird. With Ketapa, like, being the talkative uncle and him playing, like, as a goober. Like, that went on for a little too long for me.
That's what I'm saying. I think that, like, that scene took forever. And then on the other hand, we're like, we only see Sivu in his village for, like, 10 minutes, and then he's already climbed the waterfall, and he's already met and already fallen in love with and already picked up. Like, I feel like the bookend story is very quick, and then some of the more romance stuff definitely lingers.
Well, speaking of that, can we talk about the reason why he finally gets it up the waterfall? Which is
because he's chasing a mythical woman.
These masks are not fitted to each person, but somehow he gets his mask. He puts it in the stand. He's like, wait a second. And then draws like a beautiful woman. And he's like, oh, she must be up there.
It could have just been a boy. The mask did not look very gendered.
and then he finds her. And then, but it was just...
And it works out.
That being said, though, I did kind of like her being like the ghost, I don't know, person that like was leading him. Like that, I was like weirdly worked for me. But just the whole premise of him going up because he was just horny was just really funny. But then he was, like, kind of sweet of, like, drawing the flower in her hand and on her shoulder. It was... Young Bahubali is a weird guy, but I appreciate him.
Endearing, but certainly very odd.
Yeah. It was badass when he chopped off the kid's head, the son of the evil
king. It was very cool. And then the dude just kept walking in slow-mo.
Yeah, that was great.
And then, the other gripe I had was, I think that, so this is a clear edge I would give to RRR, is I think the romance in Bahubali, not amazing. I don't think...
All the romance or one?
I mean, specifically the Avantika and... But also, I mean, the... There's a lot of time on the courtship of Devasena, but not all that much. After they leave her village, it's kind of sparse, their relationship.
Yeah. I did really like them together, though.
Yeah.
The scene where in the courtroom after she cut off the guy's fingers. I thought that was awesome. And he just comes in. He's like, "What? Tell me what happened." She tells him. He's like, "All right, drops the head off." Like,
you go.
Freaking awesome, man. Yeah, that was weird. But we should more in the back end, less in the front end of their relationship. Right.
But then the comparison I would make is that the bromance in RRR is so far better fleshed out over the course of that movie. I think part of that, too, is you're not juggling as many relationships. So the main bromance is given more time to breathe. But.
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like instead of that, we have the two mentor and
mentee
relationships with the Katapa and Bahubali and the uncle and Baladeva. I like those kind of mirroring each other. And yeah, like I said, I just love Katapa so much. Like, he's awesome. But some other just random notes I had on the action front. In the first movie, when they're fighting the kind of like savages in that army, and like they're getting down to the end, and I think it's Bahubali versus the captain, and the captain is just throwing people and Bahubali like in a stack.
Yep.
Killed me.
Very good.
Another scene, probably maybe my favorite scene from the first movie, is when they're lifting up the golden statue, and then one person sees Bahubali and everyone starts chanting his name, and the golden statue is up, but we get the bigger statue, Bahubali, behind, as like how Baladeva feels in that moment of like, this was not a big moment, but I still feel under the shadow of Bahubali. Like, that was like very, very good metaphorical imagery there.
I actually didn't put that together. I just wasn't paying close enough attention. But yeah, that's clever. I like that.
Like, yeah, I just love he just like cannot escape his brother's slash nephew. Yep. Yeah, which is just awesome. Shout out to the recap and the opening credits of the second movie. Very tastefully done and just like really good art.
And got you the info.
It's kind of shocking how little scenes they had to show to get you caught up.
Yeah.
There's like five shots. Like, oh yeah, there we go.
There's a lot of piddling around and thieves' dens and whatnot.
Yeah, that's not plot relevant. Shout out to the flaming bull fight.
Yeah.
That was dope.
That's really cool.
And then opening the dam to just like clear everybody out. And then the last thing I'll say is I love the callback of in the beginning of the second movie, we get Shinigami doing the walk with the fire, and then David saying at the end of the movie to end it and like kill the demon again. It was really nice. Nice touch.
Yeah. Also commenting on the ending, I really like when the bad guy just gets his comeuppance.
Oh, yeah.
And I was concerned that maybe they were going to do like a spare him, or maybe he has a come to Jesus. Nope, they super kill him, and get to see them super kill him, and I was so happy with that, because the man he has come to embody evil. My only regret is that the uncle also didn't kick the bucket.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't kill him.
I think Katapa should have just, like, when he turned on him and said, no, I serve the king, the true king. Yep. He should have just chopped his head off right there.
I'm right there with you. I think that would have been a cool moment of, like, the two mentors, like, fighting and then him just killing. But I don't know why they didn't do that. But, yeah, getting seeing Baladeva get his comeuppance was awesome. Like, getting, like, stabbed through the knee to hold him there and, like, oh, sick, dude. This movie's freaking awesome. Everybody, like, if you're listening to this podcast and you watch RRR and you liked it, you need to watch these movies. Like, set aside a Saturday and just get through these because they are just incredible. Like, such a fun time.
Yeah, I might tweet about it or something. It's such a shame that people, like myself included, for the longest time would just close off anything with subtitles. Mm-hmm. Because you actually have to pay attention. But that, you know, there's a market in that. That's why the Big Bang Theory is so successful, is because they tell you when you're supposed to laugh, so you don't actually have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah. Catching strays out here.
No, yeah. And like, I don't know. I think for me, like, this is a lot of reasons why I never watched like movies that indie. But I would see like the goofy Bollywood clips, and I'd be like, oh, these movies must just be like all just style, goofy. No substance.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure they're fun, but not like worth my time. But now that I've seen them, I'm like, okay, no, these are actually like genuinely good movies that do have a ton of fun action, but like the story is, and like the characters are freaking awesome.
Yeah, we're two movies into this string, and I've already had a 5.5 hour long fist pump and an hour long sob. Yeah. So there's more than just flash to the Indian movie scene.
Exactly. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I mean,
you
kind of... obviously it's just RRR. I guess Game of Thrones, but I can't really recommend it. I only watched the last season, which everyone says is the bad one. But...
Well, Game of Thrones isn't fun. It's not really a fun.
It's not
factor.
Fun like this. Yeah. Yeah. Like watching a man get his eyes gouged out is not as cool as watching a man throw a man at a man. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. I do have a recommendation, and you're going to laugh at me, all right?
Okay.
But I'm not just saying it because I want to talk about it. Like, I genuinely think that One Piece is a good recommendation. Like, because I was watching it, and, like, I was thinking about the story, and, like, the story of this movie is actually very similar to the story of the most recent One Piece arc about, like, a royal family that gets, you know, overthrown by an evil person that kind of sneakily gets up there and then getting it back. So if you want more of this kind of story that and also has some fun and cool action, even if you just watch the most recent arc of One Piece called Wano, it's a very similar story and you might like it. So I'm Perk, you know, if people watch 6 hours of this, they like long things. Why not watch a show that's over 1,000 episodes long?
Why the hell not?
There you go. All right, well, that is our review of Bahubali. Please go out and watch it on Netflix. It is you will not regret it. It is such a fun time. But before we watch or we reveal what we're watching next week, it's time for our bonus reviews. I got two, Perk, you got one, but I'm kind of tired of talking. Why don't you go first, Perk?
Okay. Yeah, so like prime, perfect, like I was just, I want to watch something. I got some time. Mm-hmm. And Dungeons & Dragons made it to streaming.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's good. It's like... You know, I expected it to be garbage. It's not garbage. It's better than garbage. It's fairly trope heavy, but there's a lot in there for fans of the game. Mm-hmm. The cast is great. Chris Pine has infinite charisma.
Yeah.
Is it Michelle Rodriguez? I always get her name wrong.
Yeah, you got it.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She plays her, you know, traditional, like, tough guy. Mm-hmm. But with a heart of gold. and Hugh Grant plays the bad guy, and he just is hamming it up, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The story's fun. The comedy's fun. I'm pulling up the names. I got to give
credit. Looking it up. He's looking it up.
I'm looking it up. Regé Jean Page plays, like... All right, so my comparison I got, you know Spy Kids 3?
Oh, yeah. I love Spy Kids 3D.
You know Elijah Wood as the guy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Zenk in this movie is the guy if the guy doesn't immediately die. And he and Chris Pine have some great interactions. Justice Smith as the, like, wizard, mm-hmm. warlock, or sorcerer, is really funny. He adds a lot of good comedic value. And then the cast is rounded out by Sophia Lillis, who I've only seen in It.
That's what she's from. Yeah,
she was good too. The cast has a great chemistry, great dynamic. The story's fine. It is... How on earth is this movie 2 hours and 15 minutes long?
Like, I got all the references, Perk.
I never felt bored. It wasn't... Mm-hmm. The pacing was good, but it's like... Damn it, guys. This needed to be like a 95-minute quick in and out. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun adventure movie. The characters have constant funny moments together, like Band of Misfits. And would definitely recommend it. If you're bored and want to throw something on for a little longer than you'd normally just be bored and throw something on, like Dungeons & Dragons is a good time.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely want to watch it because I love Chris Pine and it looks fun. So
definitely fun.
Have to get to it. All right. First thing I'm talking about is the new John Mulaney special.
Oh, yeah.
Baby J. Have you heard anything about this?
I saw it live and I've seen it since.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Yep.
For those who don't know, it's kind of him talking about his experience in rehab following, you know, all of his drug issues. This is a weird one for me. I feel like it's not a comedy special. It felt like more of just him like telling a story with jokes, which I understand is a style, which Mike Birbiglia is my favorite comedian. That's his style too. But like, I don't know if I'd recommend this to comedy fans. I would recommend it to John Mulaney fans who want to know what he's been up to and how he's doing. Cause like, I wasn't laughing that much. It was more just like, I'm mostly interested in like, yeah, how's he doing now and what was the experience like? But like, I've laughed a lot less than I would have liked to for a John Mulaney comedy special, I guess. And also, it just got some kind of weird vibes at times. Like, I'm sure this wasn't his intention, but sometimes I feel like he was like bragging about things he did when he was addicted to drugs. And I know, like, he says at the top, like, don't do anything I did, like, don't do drugs. But like, sometimes it just felt a little bit off. Just vibes were off for me. So it could be a personal thing, but I don't know. I don't think I'll watch it again. But if you're a John Mulaney fan, I'd recommend it. But that's about all I'll say about it.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, part of it was I was there in person. They didn't have a part like this on the spot. I agree with you. It's a huge break from formula for him to go to the more story-based comedy. He had a conversation with an audience member who had been to rehab, and that was just kind of a cool little moment. He did something similar where he picked a kid out of the crowd and was like, yeah. Oh, cover your ears for the next hour and a half or something.
That was fun. He kind of weaved that in throughout the show as well.
To circle back to little Connor or whomever. I quite liked it. I agree. I really like that style, the story-based style of comedy. I think Mike Birbiglia is great. I think in his most recent special, Anthony Jeselnik has a great, like the second half of his show is pretty much just like that, and it's good. I wouldn't recommend Anthony Jeselnik to anyone, but I think he's really funny.
Very specific, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was good. I'm glad that he did not touch the whole ex-wife Olivia Munn thing with the 10-foot pole. That was the right topic to steer clear of. I mean, he mentions his son for a bit, and that's nice. But I'm glad that it was more focused on like the whole rehab experience. I think that he's a good storyteller, and he's got maybe the best delivery and timing of any comedian I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think that's his strong suit, and I think it works for him. But yes, I can see where some of it would come off a little weird, and this is not a good intro to John Mulaney. I agree with you. I'm not lining up to rewatch this. I did rewatch it when it came out on Netflix, but I will go back to Comeback Kid and Kid Gorgeous.
Well, that's the weird thing is like
it's more watchable.
I think they're obviously way more watchable and on repeat viewing, but like also now like there watching will those be, knowing that
there will he be a bit of a tarnish.
He was on drugs at the time. It's like,
well, not even that man. Though. Even on top of that, there's also, I mean, he doesn't detail it, but it wasn't confirmed that he was using back for those. My guess was it might have been brought on by COVID. But that's his story to tell. But and also there are a lot of jokes about his relationship with his wife, which is a little weird now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like I'm at the point where I'm okay not watching his stuff anymore. I'm canceled John Mulaney. It's like I'm just not like I'm glad he's doing better now. I'm just less interested in him now. Not to say I'm almost not trying to say like I'm anti recovered drug addicts. It's like
you hate people who went to rehab, Jacob?
I know. I hate people who make a change in their life for the better.
Ice cold.
he says at the beginning, so it's like the vibes are different now, you know, and he's not really offering a product that I am still interested in. That's probably the most businessy way of saying it.
Fair
and that's fine.
Enough. Yeah,
that's
fine.
That was it. Other thing I watched, and I'm really happy I made time for this, is Star Wars Visions Season 2. This, if you don't know, this is the anthology series where basically Star Wars went to like 9 different animation studios around the world. It's like, hey, make a Star Wars thing. And it's completely filler anthology, like not related to anything, do whatever you want. And the first season was all Japanese studios. So it was all kind of different anime styles. And this season they went all over the globe. And we saw some really, really cool, I think, mixes of like local culture with Star Wars, which I think was fascinating. So, Perk, if you don't mind, I did rank them. I ranked all 9, and I kind of want to talk about each kind of section here and kind of the must-watch ones, I think.
Sure.
So starting at the bottom, number 9 for me is the first episode. It's called Sith. I understand why they led with this one in the ordering, because it's arguably the most visually stunning. It's a very much like a painterly, like paintbrush style, and it's really gorgeous. But to me, it's just all style, no substance. I think the story is just not interesting at all. It's just very serviceable, and it's just like the classic thing we've seen a lot in Star Wars recently of like, not like there's good in the dark side and there's bad in the light side or whatever. And it's just like, sure, didn't do a whole lot for me, and it was just all style, no substance. Number 8 in the stars. This is a very like claymation, stop motion. I think maybe claymation.
Yeah, I saw the trailer style. For this. It looked good.
Really pretty. And I'm going to say, like, all the animation's gorgeous. Like, it's going to be redundant of me to say every single time that the animation is gorgeous. This is a story again. Exposition was just very sloppily kind of delivered. And I think watching these, I focused more on, like, these are, like, essentially, like, shorts, right? Like, short films. And short films are very hard to nail, like, the exposition of, like, how much, what is the minimum amount you have to tell me of context for me to care? And this one in the stars, this spent, like, a whole, like, minute and a half explaining the backstory, and I'm like, this, you're doing me too much. Like, I don't care.
That's
like,
fair.
And it just didn't fully work for me, but still, like, pretty solid. Number 7 was The Bandits of Golok. This one was out of India, and I think how they merged, like I mentioned, like Indian culture with Star Wars was really, really cool. However, this is probably the animation I liked the least, because it was kind of a 3D style that I personally didn't love, and the story was just kind of fine. That's that one. Moving up to this next tier I call Solid. Number 6 is Journey to the Darkhead. This one I thought was gorgeous. This is by the studio that did Korra, if you've seen Legend of Korra.
Fantastic
The Korean
show.
Studio. And I think the animation was gorgeous. I think the action is probably the best action in this whole set here. Story is cool. The weird thing that what killed this one for me was the voice acting was just not there. I watch all these in English because that was by default, and also I didn't want to like figure out for every studio what was the correct one.
Yeah, fair.
And this one, it was the most like anime-esque style, and especially the male lead, just he was doing the screams and it was not working for me at all, and it just really took me out of it, unfortunately. So it was unfortunate, but as far as visually, one of my favorites. Number 5 is The Pit. This one was by, I think it's an African studio in collaboration with LucasArts, I think.
Hell yeah.
Really, really solid story. Definitely one of the darker ones, kind of Andor vibes.
Okay.
And like, I think the only one where like a character actually dies in all these. So I like that a lot. I think it was just kind of, I need a little bit more of the story and a little bit more like struggle. I don't know. It's something was missing, but I think a really solid one for sure. All right, now we're going to the top 4. These ones, I think, are like everyone should watch.
Solid gold.
Number 4 is I'm Your Mother. That is the Wallace and Gromit studio one. And just very wholesome, very fun, very funny. It's about pod racing, you know, whichever. I personally have a soft spot for.
I like pod racing.
And, it's just really wholesome and great. So I highly recommend I'm Your Mother. Number 3, The Spy Dancer. This is a French studio, I believe. And just gorgeous, like, watercolor animation, kind of brushstrokes, kind of painting outside the lines a little bit, and I think a really, really cool story that isn't fully resolved, but I think it works that way, and it's just a very cool idea. Basically, there's like this bar that all the stormtroopers go to, and the people who work there are like secretly, you know, rebels and trying to get information, and it's just like, yeah, everything just works. Everything works in the Spy Dancer, and the exposition was perfect and just awesome. Number 2, now we're in the definitely must-watch category. Like, if anything else, watch these two. Number 2 for me is Ao's Song. This is the last one in the season. This has got to be the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, this is, again, stop motion. I don't know what all the materials I use are, like, clay or whatever, but, like, these are the fucking cutest characters I've ever seen. It's about this little girl that, like, is trying to help her dad with his kind of work mining kyber crystals, and it's just so beautiful, and like I don't know, the story is like really good and the characters are great, but I just cannot get over how gorgeous and cute this short is, and I just really think everyone should check it out for themselves. And then lastly, number 1 is the second episode in the volume called Shrieker's Reach. This is by Cartoon Saloon, who they're a Nordic animation studio, and I've heard their movies are phenomenal. I just haven't had a chance to watch them, so I definitely want to now after watching this. Shrieker's Reach, to me, is a perfect short. It gives you the perfect, like, super small exposition. It's a very simple story. You get the characters immediately, and there's a very powerful, like, twist, I guess I'll call it, that just really hits really hard. And it's just like, yeah, it's a perfect short. And I think that, like, everyone needs to watch this if you're a Star Wars fan or just a fan of animation or anything. Like, I don't want to spoil anything about it, but it's just, it's perfect. It's perfect. Shrieker's Reach is amazing. So watch Shrieker's Reach, watch Owl's Song, definitely. And then, you know, if you want to watch more, you can go through the list. But I think overall, a very solid season. I think if I had one critique of, like, Disney or ever put together, is like, I wish they had the studios talk to each other a little bit more, because there's a lot of similar themes. Like, a lot of these are dealing with the dark side isn't all bad and the good side isn't all good. And a lot of just young kid, like, kids figuring out they have the Force and finding a mentor. That happens like 5 times out of the 9. So I wish there was a little more coordination with that. But overall, as an animation fan, I was very, very happy. Like, it was really cool to see stop motion in there. And some, like, watercolor styles and some anime styles and all that. So, yeah. Highly recommend Star Wars Visions Volume 2. Yeah. But, yeah, Perk, you should watch Shrieker's Reach at the very least, though. It's only, like, 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I must have blacked out. Was that your review of Little Miss Sunshine that we just listened to?
It's on my list, okay? Zelda came out.
Yeah, you had enough time to watch and rank 9 episodes of a TV show. But I Mahershala'd you and you still haven't come through.
It's on the list. I'm moving soon, all right? I'm busy.
yeah, busy guy.
So actually, that's a reminder. So there will not be an episode next week because I am moving and I'm not going to have time to get everything set up in my new place. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be watching Three Idiots, which I've heard is a really good comedy from India. And Perk, one of your friends, it's one of their favorites, right?
Yes, correct.
So we're doing Three Idiots. Our connection... Did I forget to write it down? I forgot to write it down. It was somebody on the visual effects. And I feel really bad because we looked at him. He looks great. But
I'm going to pull it up. I got to pull it up. We must credit this man.
We must do it. He worked on the visual effects for both Bahubali and Three Idiots. He also worked on Guardians. And in his profile picture on IMDb, he's holding an Oscar or something similar. So this dude, he's got the stuff. And I'm also just see what visual effects are in Three Idiots and how much there are.
Keep vamping. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to vamp. Yeah, because, like, as far as I understand, it's a comedy, so I don't know how much effects there are to do. But
all
I
right,
also
I got it.
Okay, you got it.
Shut
okay.
up. It's Satya Reddy.
Thank you, Satya Reddy. Very excited to see what work you do in Three Idiots. So yeah, next week is Three Idiots. That one's available to rent only. So apologies for that. Most of these are on Netflix, but our reason this one is not. So yeah, Three Idiots renting next week or 2 weeks from now. But until then, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.